This podcast is part of the Listen Frederick Podcast Network. To learn more, visit listenfrederick.com.
Welcome to the Health and Fitness Frederick Podcast, where we discuss all things related to health and wellness. We dispel common myths and misconceptions regarding healthcare, and we do it in a way that you can actually understand. And it is hosted by yours truly, Dr. Matt Silver, Doctor of Physical Therapy, and founder of Alpha Project Physio and Performance. All right, guys, this is another episode of the podcast, and today I have some, I've been wanting to get these two on for a long time, and I'm finally able to do it. This is Sunny and Lauren Sunny and Lawrence, right?
Yeah.
So I guess I quick just tell people, like, so you guys are in Gaithersburg, right?
Yes, Gaithersburg.
Like, how long have you had, so you guys are both trainers, so, like, I guess tell everyone about, like, what's your business?
So, yes, we are both trainers. Our business, we opened in May of 2019, and prior to that, we were both trainers at another gym, a friend's gym, where we rented space and really grew up our clientele and saved some money and kind of knew we wanted to open our own space one day.
Okay.
Started kind of searching, got with a broker, found some spots, almost signed a lease, and then unsigned a lease, and couldn't find, like,
wow,
the spot. And
wow,
one day, I'll never forget, it was Super Bowl Sunday. It was 2019 Super Bowl Sunday. And we went on this mission to, like, look at some places alone.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't get into any of them, but, you know, just based on, like, let's go outside and just,
like,
look in
the
windows.
The location.
Yeah.
And just check it out. And we pulled in this random parking lot and just sat there. And we were like, all right, like, there's got to be something. And we looked up, and this place was for rent. And I was like, maybe this is our something.
Maybe,
and,
that's,
like,
it.
Everything listed online, like, we knew. I was,
yeah,
like, that's not listed.
Like, we knew every commercial spot in the area at this point.
You had it down to a T. Like, yeah, every...
We were like, that's not listed. And we looked it up, and it wasn't,
well,
listed.
Was it new? Was it, like...
No,
no,
it was
they
old.
Just hadn't put it... Like, it's... They do things a little bit more old school. Like, it wasn't,
yeah,
listed,
oh,
on, like, the server online.
Like, yeah,
it was,
like,
just,
the commercial real estate server. Yeah,
yeah,
I gotcha.
Yeah.
It was just...
Huh.
They do
for,
do everything,
like,
very
for lease
old
sign on the building.
But so we called.
Well, it worked. Apparently it worked. Apparently
it worked.
Yeah, we called and we talked to this guy, and he was like, let's meet on Tuesday at the restaurant. And so we were like, okay.
Is there a restaurant next door?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. That's
so
awesome.
We
oh, was that the landlord or the real,
well,
estate agent or something?
So, no, it was like, the way that they do it, it's very family operated. So there's, like,
there was
a
trust,
and
he was, like, the trustee,
and
he was, like, the property manager, I guess.
Yeah, I guess you would call him the property manager, but he was like,
almost
became, like, our mentor.
At the same time,
we didn't know what we were doing.
This guy's, like, side business was business coaching.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so he essentially sat us down, and unlike a traditional, you sit down and talk about a lease, he was like, all right, are you guys single? What do you guys do? What are your plans? What's your life like? He was like, I want to make sure if you're doing this, you're going to be successful. And he essentially, like, talked us through everything. It was, he was kind of a godsend.
He basically sold us the space.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't talk as if, like, there were options. He talked
and
as
he
if,
was
like, okay, once you're in, this is how it's going to go.
And he was like, these are things that you can negotiate on. These are things you're going to do. He was like, I have to represent them, but, like, this is what you guys are going to do.
Yeah.
Oh, and then he even talked
wow
us through, like, thank God for him. He talked us through, like, how to get our operating permits. Like, they
oh my
were giving
gosh
us a hard time because it used to be We Buy Cars, and so they wanted us to, like, pay all this money to
rezone it,
but, like, that was unnecessary.
Yeah,
like
this space too, like
yeah,
I'm not,
it wasn't
I'm,
set
yeah
up for, like, some hosh-posh, like, something. It was set up as, like, a shell. There was nothing in it. We didn't rezone anything. So he was like, no, you just go back and talk to someone else. Like,
because we were like, we have to pay this money to, like, rezone it, like. And we were like, should we do this? And he was like, no. You go back, and you keep going back until you get the right person. And
oh, like, you just
okay
have to. It's like calling. It's almost like my old job, calling an insurance company. Like, this was a full time job. This is why we don't take insurance. Of, like, insurance PT practices literally have to hire someone to do all the claims. And, like, sometimes you get someone who's just not the right person. Okay, call back. And it's just the big time suck.
It's like calling Comcast.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, this is the worst.
I remember going back the second time, and we were so nervous because we were like, they're going to recognize us. Because, like, for blonde and brunette, always, like, kind of together.
You should have, like, one went in and the other went in and changed your hairstyle. And, like, that may have worked.
There were people there with, like, architecture plans and, like, all of this, like, in detail. And we were just like, we don't know what the hell we're doing, but we're going to play it off. And it works.
That's awesome.
We got what we wanted. And, like, then they came for the inspection and, like, our place is older and there was a ton of stuff. They were like, well, this is not code, but his grandfathered in, and this is not code, his grandfathered in. And we were like,
so from the 1920s, it's totally fine.
Give us a pass. Like, and
you
they
have
did.
The, you have the two prong outlets, it's fine though. You're totally cool.
No, basically.
Yeah, it's
no,
like,
one of them doesn't work. That's
you need to get an electrician in there.
Yeah. No, but wow. So, I mean, it's just like things just kept falling into place, and I still think back and thank God for Paul because he since unfortunately has passed away. But
oh, man. Wow.
He got us to where we are, which is ironic because he was on the landlord's side.
And he taught us a lot.
Yeah. Like, I would feel confident signing a lease.
Actually genuinely helping us, not just as a representative of the landlord. Like, he wanted to make sure that he was setting us up for
for success.
Yeah.
And, like,
and
how we were signing
awesome.
The lease was going to help
and, like,
us.
He taught us about, like,
set up for success.
Like, how to not guarantee it, but how to, like, get around a guarantee and how, like, just a ton of stuff that I was like,
oh, like when you're signing
like
a lease.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I gotcha.
I never even knew that was an option. Like,
yeah. There's
no.
There's probably a lot of savvy things you can do, but it's
taught us a lot.
That sounds like you guys had a fantastic mentor on the commercial real estate side
totally
of things.
By accident, we did.
I might have to pick your guys' brain when when we start looking for places. Okay. I just got off the, like, Rebecca, her husband John, he just does a lot of finance stuff, and they know a guy who owns a commercial real estate business. So I got off the phone with him today. So he's hopefully going to help me out, but I know I'm going to have questions, so I'm probably going to pick your guys' brains.
If I can remember back to 2019 before COVID.
But honestly, it makes sense because it's almost like the clients that you guys probably have of, like, you want to have good clients that are going to stay with you and not just like, hey, I'm going to come for two sessions and leave. So, I mean, from his standpoint, he's probably like, hey, I want someone to come in here that's going to stay and have a successful business because it's a win-win.
Exactly.
So I think it benefits him, but also sounds like you guys are killing it now, which is fantastic. So I know you, so when did you start the business? Like, how long has it been?
So
going for
that was another fun trip we took to Baltimore to get an LLC. So it's all been an adventure and field trip. And then I want to say that was April.
Yeah, it was right before we opened. So we essentially started Sunny and Lawrence a couple months before we opened.
Okay. So you had the LLC and all that stuff.
Got
in place.
The LLC done and then found the place.
Like, what I will say is, like, we'd both been trainers for a while independently, so we're. Mm-hmm. I'm sole proprietor. Lauren Brown is sole proprietor.
Yeah.
She's Sunny Hamidi, sole proprietor.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Together,
how do you combine that? Yeah.
So it's two businesses. So, like, my personal training business is separate from Sunny and Lauren.
Oh, so you have two LLCs.
Well, we're not
LLC
independently.
Sole proprietor.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Sole proprietors independently.
Oh.
And then
the
we pay
gym is
rent.
The LLC.
Oh,
yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah, so
like, oh, I see.
We're renting space also.
Yeah.
Ah, I gotcha.
We're renting space
from
ourselves.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
That's an interesting way to do it. Okay.
That's why no one understands it.
No, that makes sense. Okay. So is that why it's complicated when you did the whole gym launch thing?
Yeah.
Oh,
we
I see. Okay.
This way, like, if there's ever a time where, like, one of us needs to step back a little bit or one person wants to go off to do something different or whatever, we're not so intertwined.
Yeah, you're not.
That way, we can,
like,
and everything's even that way. Like, it's fair.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, like,
if one
person's
taking,
like,
on a lot of load, we're not both getting paid the same. You know what I mean?
We're
paying into the gym the same amount, and then
you take your owner's draw and stuff.
Exactly.
Like, that makes a lot of sense because, like, I mean, I'm the only owner of Alpha Project, but, like, it can get, and my mentors, they all have their own businesses. They don't have any partners, but it's very, I have seen a lot of situations that go south when there's, like, multiple owners of a business, and then there's this discrepancy of who wants to do what, and then it can cause a lot of problems.
Yeah.
And a big reason we did it this way, not even, like, thinking about necessarily that per se, but our big thing was that we wanted to offer a space for trainers. So, like, while we have clients, the mission of us personally as sole proprietors is to offer, like, amazing service and life-changing experiences for our clients.
Yeah.
But our mission at Sunny and Lawrence is to offer life-changing experience for the trainers, to offer them like the ability to grow a business, to grow it independently, to grow it on their own, to make their own decisions. Like, and we can mentor them and kind of help them along the way as to, like, how to run your own business, how to open a bank account, how to LLC yourself, how to hire an accountant.
How to,
like,
do all the legal things.
And
how to
save some money because
you
you're
going to
pay your own taxes. You know,
yes.
that kind of thing.
Yeah,
but,
as a, yep, that makes sense.
You know, but, like, They're on their own. They put themselves on the schedule. They come and go as they please.
So they get their own clients and stuff too? Wow.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if we have people that reach out and need a trainer, like they reach out to Sunny and Lawrence, we'll place them with a trainer that we have.
Oh, I
so
see.
We do pass clients on that way.
Okay.
But like we don't do the marketing for them. They do.
Yeah, and like if they want ideas on like how to do it, like we'd be happy to like help them and support them however we can. But it's really we're there to support with what you need. Otherwise, run your business how you want to run your business. And
okay.
We're kind of hands off unless you need us. Like, we don't want to interfere.
You pay us.
So basically, you have the space is Sunny Lawrence, and then like you guys are trainers within that space, and all the other trainers there are trainers within that space, paying rent, and then just seeing their clients.
Yes. Exactly.
Oh, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is it. That is. I where'd you guys get that idea from?
So.
Like, how did it, how did it come to you?
That's how we were able to open our own spot.
The gym we worked at right before we opened Sunny and Lawrence was set up similar style. Not quite exactly how we do it, but very similar.
Where were you guys beforehand?
We worked at Red Zone in the Kentlands.
Okay. Is that like youth sports? No, that's Redline Athletics. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, I'm thinking of something else. It's another personal training studio. It's very similar to how ours is set up. We have a little bit of differences within like how we charge rent, but very similar model. And I came from, I don't know how you were paid before, but I came from like a big corporate gym before that.
Is it like One Life or something?
Yep, basically. It used to be Sport and Health. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. I gotcha.
And I loved working there. So like I had a great experience. I learned a lot. Like a lot of really good trainers mentored me.
I heard they do a very good job on the Con Ed side of things.
I learned a lot. And I will say I learned like everything I know from like the train. Not everything I know, but like a lot of things I know from the trainers that were there and the experience I got from them. But the side that I didn't like is that there were some restrictions on what you could and couldn't do because of other competing things within the space. So like I wanted to teach some small group programs, but I couldn't do it because they had some other small group that was like a separate thing from personal training. So like I couldn't have anything beyond two people.
So you had to keep it one or two people. You couldn't have five or six.
Because it competed with like things that they already offered within other things. So I was like, but why can't I have my own? But like it's a compete. They just don't allow it.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And then on the other side also is like, which I guess is a great model for them and it works well for them and they have a lot of things to offer for trainers to use.
Yeah.
But it's like a commission base, right? So the clients pay the gym and then you get a commission from that. And it feels like the more you work, like the more and more they take also. So it's really hard.
I see.
You have to work like a lot. And like, the more you work, the more is taken out. So it's like
that's not very sounds like taxes. Like more money you make, the more they get taxed. It's like this is a rigged system. Why am I working so hard?
It's exactly like that.
And like it was again, it was great to start off there. Like I had a really good experience.
I've heard that.
With
I've
certain
heard that
limitations
too.
And then also with that I wanted to have a space for myself that I could work and essentially figure out what I wanted to make for myself and
had the freedom to figure
that out. And then also to have a space to offer trainers the opportunity to run a business how they want to run it and not necessarily have to conform to certain restrictions of a corporate gym or
get all that.
Even some smaller gyms had certain restrictions as well that you had to conform to.
Yeah, and get all that all that commission taken out of it.
Yeah.
So they just pay you guys rent, right? So they just pay rent.
They can charge what they want, and then we have like a set rent fee, so they can figure out what to charge us based on what they want to make, essentially.
Wow. So you guys give, so instead of the commission based that most trainers in the bigger gyms are used to, it's much more rent based, and they can charge whatever they want because it's their business. That's pretty awesome. Freedom. That's the freedom of doing what you want.
Just because again, like you can find yourself sometimes paying like $2,000 in like, or paying back $3,000, $4,000 in commission or rent or whatever.
Yeah.
But we have a cap on ours because we're like, we understand our space is limited. Mm-hmm. We understand we don't have a lot of room. We want you guys in here and we want to prioritize you guys staying here. So we have a cap. So if someone works full time and works 40 hours a week, they basically, their rent back to us is capped. And if anything they train beyond that is their money to keep for themselves.
That's pretty awesome.
So
they, is it a flat fee or is it like as they see more clients, it's different?
The fee changes, yeah.
I see what you're saying.
But once they hit a certain cap, then that's their.
And what's glorious about that is as they train more, they pay less.
Yeah.
It's opposite.
Yeah. That's good.
As you have more clients, your price per client goes down. And then once you hit a certain price, you won't pay beyond that.
Yeah. So the rest of
that's pretty. That's pretty nice.
You can make yourself as full time as you want, and like you always know what your rent's going to be.
Yeah. That is. That's really nice.
Yeah. So we just wanted to have an opportunity where trainers could thrive, essentially.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot to freedom. Like, I mean, that's why we have the more of the out of network of insurance practice of like, I didn't like all the rules and like, even if like we were just like, we didn't grow much and stagnant, I still would enjoy this because I have a lot more freedom.
Yeah, I think, and I think that's what makes this like, this career is one of those things. If you're going to make it, you're going to love it. Like you are.
Yeah. You like, you have to like
fitness, helping people. Love it. Like you've got to love it. And why, if you're going to find something that you love so much, like it shouldn't come at the cost of making no money. Like, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, like have the freedom behind it to love all parts of it, you know, like, and just creating that for people where they don't feel like they have to work floor hours or attend like meetings or be on the schedule this many hours or, you know, like,
yep.
Sounds like a month long vacation. Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead. Like, that's what that's, you know, like, I love that because like Rebecca, she like most of our PTs, like besides my wife, are they're contractors. So like they can, I have no problem having someone become an employee, but I'm like, once you become an employee though, it's, you can't just take a month off. Yeah. Like it's different. Where like Rebecca, she took a month off vacation, went to, cause she's from Honduras and John's from Italy. So like they went to Italy and like they went to Portugal and Spain and she enjoyed it. I'm like, hey, like I want you to have that freedom. But like, obviously if you're a W-2 employee, like we can't do it that way. And obviously I'm not going to pay you when you're gone as a contractor, but
yeah.
Like people want that freedom. And like, she's like, no, I want to stay a contractor because I, cause I don't want to be limited by PTO days. And I, you know, I can make money and do this beforehand, but I want to do what I want to do. But it sounds like that's kind of the same thing with the trainers.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
We started an owner's agreement.
We downloaded a template online. We pay for this thing.
We fill the whole thing out, and then it gets to the end, and it's like the owner's 50-50 share. And we were like, it wouldn't let you do 50-50.
Yeah, one person had to be like, more, and one person.
And we were like, no.
Yeah.
That's not what we want to do
for this.
And so then we're like, our way. Never mind. So we just exited out, and I was like, we'll work as a
group. Well, that was 2 hours wasted. Okay.
or a day. It was probably longer than 2 hours.
I feel like. Because, like, when I remember filling out, like, the whole corporate, like, you know, LLC, S-corporation thing, I think you're supposed to, I don't know if you can have a legit, I think it depends, but, like, some of them you have to have, like, somebody has to be, like, the more, like, 51%, 49%. Mm-hmm. Unless, I think it has to be, like, a partnership if it's 50. I don't know exactly.
I think on our LLC, I think they just made us have one of our names first.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's.
If that's the true owner.
We basically were like 50-50, and they finally were like, okay, fine. I'm like, yeah. Like, they probably in the system were like, all right, this person's name is first. This is what it is.
And like, we don't even know.
They're like, all right, we're just going to eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Okay,
so
bam.
We have her address on everything, so she probably has the.
It's like your name. Your name, her address.
Because we were roommates at the time. So like, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, what?
I just own the home.
What got you guys into fitness? Like what, I guess, what were you doing beforehand? Like, what got you into this?
All right, you go first.
So mine, I was active my whole life. I would not say I was fit by any means. Did dance, I did gymnastics. Like I did kickboxing.
That's intense.
Did the Stairmaster. You know, like I was, you know, just a college girl doing college girl things.
Going college girl things.
Not an athletic one. So I got in a car accident my sophomore year of college. A pretty bad one. I broke my back in two places. And
wow. Was it low back?
Yeah.
Okay.
L4, L5.
Wow.
And I had never really thought of, I didn't even like know what core strength was, to be completely honest with you. And I was in the hospital for about 4 days. And
well, I'm glad you're not paralyzed. That's awesome.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're moving good.
I'm glad I'm alive because I really shouldn't have been alive. But
wow.
Secondly, I should have been paralyzed. Now I'm lucky enough to stand here and deadlift today. But
God was like, you need to be on a fitness journey. How do I show this
to her? Yeah. I say it's God's plan because I never would have been doing this. Like I was in college to do.
He was like, she's on the wrong path right now. How do I fix this?
He was like, let's just crush her into a
Yeah, she'll figure it out. Divine intervention. She'll figure it out. I'll have her live. So he's just playing Sims over here.
So nice. Literally. Mack truck took over my life. So yeah, I mean, after that, I hired a trainer because just it was like my gut was like, you can't just do life and not get strong now. Like, you're gonna be in pain the rest. I mean, it was not comfortable to have a broken back. So I was like, you got to do something about this. So
did you have rods and stuff in your back at all? Like, do you have?
I did not. No.
Okay. Where did it break?
It was L4, L5.
Was it like the body? Did it tell you where in the back it broke? Which you probably don't, if you don't remember, that's cool.
At the time, I don't even know that I would have had enough anatomical knowledge.
Oh, to know. to know what it was. Yeah.
Now I'd have to go back and look. I don't know.
Sure. Okay.
But, I mean, I still have issues, but like, not, you know, like, I feel like one of those people with,
like, it's like when the weather is like a certain day, she can tell, yeah. You know,
like. You guys be training, it's going to rain in 2 hours. Like, yeah. What?
But
my back hurts.
The ironic part is, so I get this trainer, and I'm like, wow, this strength training stuff's pretty cool. Like, this feels great. I love the way this feels. And I was, like, a partier, like, kind of like a delinquent college.
I mean, yeah, you're college. You're supposed to do that, I think, for a time.
So, I mean, I always thought so, and then I meet Sunny, and she's, like, perfect. Doing pull-ups by the age of 4. But, so I ended up falling in love with fitness. I got a cycle certification. I was teaching on the side. And then
okay, like, spin and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
My trajectory was to take over my mom's business, and that's what
was that the management one?
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
And so then, like, time fast forwards, and I decided I wanted to get a PT cert. I was like, I'm gonna do training on the side. That's, like, everyone's thought process. I'll just do this on the side.
Yeah, and side hustle mode.
I got my training cert 2 years ago. By I recertify it. Still haven't trained at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes time where, like, we have to make a decision. Like, we ended up having to close the spot. That's a whole nother podcast episode. But that was a really sad, unfortunate situation where I was left with, like, no job. So
this,
like,
from training or from
this is from my management.
Oh, job. Wow.
And so at this point, I'm teaching cycle.
Okay, but this is your mom, the business your mom has? Mm-hmm. Okay, wow.
And so, you know, that was no longer my path. God, divine intervention again. Like, there's no spa to take over anymore. That was...
Wow.
So, I took my PT cert and started using it, and I worked at a place called Prime Fitness.
Okay.
And
is it around here?
It was,
somewhere?
They're now all virtual since COVID. But they were... When I started working with them, it was off Redland Road. Now it's... It moved to Air Park, and now it's virtual.
Okay.
But they really helped me get on my feet.
Nice.
Kind
That's
of
good.
Mentored me into, like, okay, this is how you actually use your cert. So I taught.
Nice.
I taught boot camp there, which was essentially like small group training. You know, classes were smaller, and it was a lot.
Like five people, 10 people.
It was usually like 10, 12, 15, maybe max.
Okay.
I worked there for a couple of years, and then ended up. Like, I always had this entrepreneurial mind. Like, I wanted to do my own thing. I knew that.
Yeah.
That was, like, the only thing I was sure of on this whole path.
Yeah. I feel most trainers, I'm like, I think you have to have some kind of entrepreneurial spirit if you're like, I want to go out on my own and, like, train people. Like, you have to have some level of that.
Yeah. So I got to a point there where, like, I was getting it. You know, I went from at the spa, like, I was the go to person, I ran the place. Like, I hired you, I fired you.
So you were basically...
I answered all the questions.
You're a trainer plus manager.
Yeah, and then I go from knowing everything to literally knowing nothing. And I'm like, I have this PT cert, but I don't, like, I've trained with a trainer. I've never trained a client. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I was one of those people that was like, I'm just going to train everybody like I train myself. This is going to be great. I'm like, that is not
I think
it.
Every trainer says like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was a long journey.
Well, you use what you know, right? Like, I know how I train myself, so I'm going to do the same thing. And
I think
it's a good place to start at, but...
I'm going
to
throw my book knowledge out the door and just do what I do.
You just got to...
And so I'm like...
Burpees, let's go.
I'm like in here, like...
Burpees for days, yes.
I'm like faking it till you make it. Like, let me Google that real fast before I answer this question. Like, you know, just trying to, like... So I've learned a lot.
Nice.
And then I ended up... One of my friends was like, you know, I have a space... in your neighborhood. Like, I live in Kentlands. His space was in Kentlands.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, if you ever want to do this, like, on your own, this is how rent works. Like, feel free.
Wow.
And one day I just took that leap of faith and did it. And
so you started renting from that person?
I started renting from him.
Okay.
I would see people at home, like, and I was just like, I'm going to do this on my own.
Yeah.
And so I started renting space from him, and there was a PT there that I learned a lot from, a lot.
Nice.
Like, that's kind of like where Sunny talks about learning a lot at Sport and Health from other trainers she worked with. Like, that was game changing for me and my training. And then eventually, I mean, Sunny worked at Sport and Health, and at this point we didn't even know each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I always saw her.
I knew her
because
my clients would take her spin classes. She was like the best spin instructor in the area.
There we go.
Everyone that went to spin of my clients went to her class and always talked about her.
Sunny was like, I gotta meet this Lauren person. What the heck?
Well, so I was like this Sunny chick, like, she, you know, like, there's a lot of trainers that mean well, but, like, they're kind of like half in, half out on their sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and she was like always in her session. Like,
yeah,
you
can tell.
Just tell.
You can tell.
Passionate with her people.
Yes.
With what she was doing.
Yeah.
And I just walked up to her one day, and I'll never forget. You were doing box jumps. I'll never forget it. And I was like, I was in this like weird fitness depression too, because I was like,
I was doing no like, longer I was doing runner, like, but... I was doing a CrossFit Open workout when you walked up to me.
Oh, it was on the opens? Remember? Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
It was a CrossFit Open workout.
I'm sorry for interrupting. That's a big deal. Now that I know.
Sunny's over here trying. She's over here like trying to get a good time, and Lauren's bothering her.
Well,
like,
no, it was not official. I had just run a marathon, and I was like coming to this conclusion of like, I no longer want to run.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just in this weird place of like, I don't know what I want to do next with my fitness, and like.
Yeah.
I was really down on myself about it. It was actually a really like hard time. And I just decided to go out on my own with my training, like my career. And
yeah.
I was like, all things were like kind of like at a point where I was like, everything was just a standstill. And I went up to her and I was like, what are you doing with your life? That was like my first words to her ever. And I was like, you're too good to work here. What are you doing? Like, what's your next step? And she was like, I'm actually working on getting this corporate bootcamp thing together. Like, I got this wagon, I'm going to these places, like training out my trunk. Like, you want to do it together? And I was like,
there you go.
All right, let's figure this out.
Wow.
So we again sat down, spent a lot of time writing these contracts and like going to pitch them. We put on a few boot camps for a few corporations.
So you would go to different businesses to say, hey,
our,
so you would go
first LLC.
This was, yeah,
wow.
We actually did make an LLC. I don't even remember what it was called. SGT. Small
SGT,
group training.
Yeah.
Small
oh,
group.
SGT.
SGT.
That's
LLC.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's null and void now, but we attempted to go, we started with like pharmaceutical companies. We named every pharmaceutical company in the area. We went to all of them. We met with our HR people.
And we went to the hotels, all the hotels in the area, met with all the HR people to like get boot camps going there.
We would like spend days like giving these proposals of like, this is what we want to do.
And
it was
like, on here, pain in the ass.
Especially because like every place you just learn like has a different way of spending their budget.
Oh yeah!
Like,
oh, I bet.
Not, so it
different
was,
corporate rules, different like, oh, you got to get this
and
approval.
Also certain things they'd be looking for isn't necessarily what we thought would be best for people's fitness. And then it's hard for you to be like, it's a battle of like what you think people should have versus like what this company thinks they should have.
Who's gonna pay you
and
to like do the thing?
Yeah, I'm like, you don't really know what they need,
but they only want to pay for what they think that people need. And then it's this battle of like, do we want to do something just to get the business? Or just say no and walk away, and it's
that our hearts ended up winning because it was like, this is not what's going to help the people, and this is not what we want to do.
Yeah.
So we.
What did they want? The
it
businesses.
Was always different. Like I was, a lot of it was like.
Was it like quick stuff or like?
Yeah. It was like just generic classes, but it wasn't going to really help anybody.
Like a big group class, not like. Did you guys want more small group and
no,
stuff?
We were okay with the group classes, but a little kind of formatted like. In a way that we thought, like, having components of flexibility, having components of strength, having components of cardio. But, like,
oh, I
all
see.
They wanted
I
was,
see.
Like, cardio HIIT classes.
Oh.
Or, like, having, like,
yeah.
you know, like, whatever. I don't remember, like, what was in then, but, like, that and, like, yoga classes, which, again, are awesome. But we were like, okay, you guys need strength training. You guys need core strength.
Yeah.
And, like, this is
we
what we think will work.
Together,
but they were, like, you could tell that they had no interest in hearing what you have to say. Because they were just like,
we're
no,
just going
to
do this quick HIIT class.
We just want this.
Wow.
And so
we were trying to make it more of like a personal training session for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Mm,
and
so
I'd already done that within other.
Yeah. Like, sounds probably the corporate world. Yeah.
And like corporate world. And like, it works really well and people get really good results and like feel good. Love the classes. We're like, this works. Like, listen to us. We know what we're doing.
Yes.
You guys do your thing. We'll do our thing. Yeah. And let's just like meet in the middle.
Yeah. It's tough when the person with the, I remember reading, was it Henry Ford? But like when he was like making his like the you know the engine that we now you know and most of the cars besides the electric ones, but like when he was making that, I think he failed like 3 times. The 4th time he got it right, but a big reason why he failed the first couple times were like all of his investors kept like putting their stupid ideas because they had the money, they thought they had
the
a say in it.
Well,
yeah, they thought they had the idea, but he was like, no, they were messing up what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
So it was very like it's
yeah.
It seems like that's kind of the same thing of
well,
like
we ended up back at square one. And at this point, we're roommates. Thank God, because that would have been a lot more time wasted. And so we ended up back at square one. Now we're both living in Kentland. We're both working at Red Zone, which when she tells her, now they're taking 25 minutes.
Yes.
Story, of how she ended up at Red Zone. But so we ended up both at Red Zone, and we were just like, end goal, we're going to own a gym.
Awesome. So you were living together, both at Red Zone. You're like, hey, eventually we're going to own a gym
we
together.
We don't both own the gym and live together anymore. We separated.
Okay, gotcha.
She lives on her own now.
But, yeah, not anymore, but at the time, yes.
At the time,
okay.
We both worked at Red Zone. We both lived in Kentlands. And we were at Red Zone, I want to say 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And we just kind of were like, hustle, save money, hustle, save money.
Yeah, hustle, save it up.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, it wasn't all about the money. We love doing
what you can't. It's that to me. That's like you save it up for the business. Yeah, for the money. For the passion.
So, yeah. How did you get there?
Now it's on Sunny.
All right. So my fitness journey, I guess growing up, I was always big into fitness because my dad was big into fitness. My family was big into fitness. Like, I remember being little and like going to the playground with family and like they would have me doing pull-ups. But like for me, it was just like playtime. But like, I was doing pull-ups, push-ups, like things like that. But it was always just like for fun. And like we had a rowing machine at home. There was weights at home. So I was always kind of like involved in fitness. And then as I got into high school, I started to get into like, I would get all the fitness videos, like any video that was out there. There was like some people that I really like to follow and I would get all their videos and I would do like step classes in the basement and I would do
P90X or whatever.
I would do like strength training classes in the basement and like I would do all that kind of stuff in the basement. I was never big into, I played tennis growing up, but when it came to like competing against someone, I didn't necessarily care about like being the best to like win. I wanted to be the best for myself.
Yeah.
And I was always the person like in school, like if someone fell and like got hurt, I'd be the person to stop, help them, and then go back and finish the run. Like I was always the one that would be like looking around to see like who needs like something, or, like who needs know help. What they're doing that I can help.
Yeah, well, it's not like this is a natural. This is
it,
like
it kind
your
of evolved itself.
Yeah, so your natural inclination was to be a very caring trainer.
And so I was big into fitness in high school, and then going into college, I kind of knew I wanted to be a trainer, and I was like, I think I want to do something with health and fitness because that's kind of where my passion tends to be and what I tend to like gear towards more. Mm-hmm. And so I got my training certification right out of high school.
Okay.
I started training my freshman year in college.
Oh, cool. What were you going to college for?
I was initially going to school for dietetics because I wanted to be a dietitian to have a nutrition clinic, have a gym, and kind of have like a all around like nutrition,
holistic
kind
of thing.
Fitness type center.
Okay.
And the program for dietetics was great. I got a lot of really good knowledge about nutrition in there. Mm-hmm. Some that I liked, some that I didn't agree with, and I was like, I know better than you, even though at the time I probably didn't.
I know more than you.
But no, there were certain things of the program that I didn't love, certain things that I learned a lot.
Yeah, so is it a bachelor's or master's? Or?
It was a bachelor's, but I did not graduate with dietetics because I couldn't get through biochem. Biochem 1 killed me, and then
that's
biochem
a tough class.
2 caused me to resulted in me changing majors.
That's a tough class.
Like, I can't do this anymore.
That's rough.
I'm done. I give up. Which, if I were to go back now, I probably would be fine. But at the time, I was just like, I can't do this anymore. I'm done.
Yeah.
And so I switched to community and behavioral health and got my degree in that.
Does that help with what you do right now?
It was more so I just wanted to graduate with something in health and fitness because I didn't know exactly like where my journey would take me, but I had put in a lot of work to get to that far into the degree to stop.
Yeah.
And so I got that, and then I got my CHES because I was like, maybe I could do something with community health. And
what's a CHES? What's that?
It's a certified health education specialist. So it's like a test you take out of that program to get the certification, which I actually never ended up really using, but I got it.
You got a cool certification.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Exactly.
That's fun.
I went to school for however long.
Yes, you got something from your schooling.
Yeah, exactly.
You got something.
And then while I was in college, I was training I was at Fitness First.
Okay.
I was at Fitness First.
Yep.
Telling people to do burpees and do everything that I was doing. And
nice.
Yeah, you know, people having all different types of conditions. And maybe I'm just like, yeah, let's just do this.
We'll just do burpees. your knee replacements.
The only one.
Your knee replacement's going to be fine. We'll just do burpees.
Like, yeah, I don't know what else to do.
Get your heart rate up.
Let's do reverse crunches on the BOSU, holding onto the railing behind you. Like, I don't know.
Yes. Totally going to do this. Well, you got to start somewhere. Like, I remember
Think I ever actually injured anyone like majorly there.
Yes, it's you got. I mean, when I started my Alpha Project Physio, I was still learning a lot of. I just got into CrossFit, so like I was like, oh, I'm totally gonna treat CrossFitters, and I'm like, I don't have much. I mean, I knew a lot, but I'm like, I didn't really do the thing. I mean, now I've been doing it for 2.5 years. I have a much better understanding of it, but I knew mobility, and I knew enough to not hurt people. But I'm like, I need to know more from this. So it's like you have to dive in.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah.
It's like you just have to do it and then learn it. That's the best way to learn. Like, you can study a textbook and eventually throw it away. You got to go do that. You got
to
throw it to fire.
You just have to get out there.
Yeah, you got
to
do it.
That's why I'm always like, you can't wait until.
I'm like, I don't know. It's supposed to start with foam rolling. Let's start with foam rolling. Like, let's do this.
I've seen this. I've seen this on YouTube. We're going to foam.
I remember being like, we're going to spend the first 15 minutes foam rolling. And now I'm like, hey, listen, you need a foam roll. You got to do it on your own.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have 15 minutes.
We don't have time for this crap.
This is your homework. Let's go.
Yes.
Like, I'm not wasting that time.
Come in here early, foam roll. Then. then you can do it, or after. I'm not. Yeah. You're paying money for this. We're not gonna foam roll.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, you can foam roll on your own. Go
it's
home.
Like a in it, like so like when I was in physical therapy school. I mean, we learned way. We spent way too much time learning about. Oh, this is what heat does. This is what ice pack does. This is what ultrasound does. And it just doesn't do.
Yeah, and now they're
saying do shit.
Don't even use it.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything. Now they're like, and I spent all this time learning it. And I'm like, why did I spend so much time learning it? It's like I remember. Distinctly of like seeing four people an hour in Buffalo, New York, and I'm like, all right, this guy's on a heat pack. He's gonna be on a heat pack for 15 minutes. I'm gonna go massage this dude out. And I'm like, I wasn't literally helping people.
It's like you're doing no one justice.
Yes. And I remember one dude, he would come in like the last visit of the day, and he would just like go like this on the table. And I would they called it my clinical instructor, oh, it's myofascial release. I would just like take my hand on his back and just
slide up and down.
I'm like, what am I? I would do that, and then I'd also like, he's like, yeah, just ultrasound his whole back. I'm like, okay, put the ultrasound jelly up for like 5 minutes. My arm would get tired just ultrasounding his entire back, and I'm just doing nothing to help this guy. I'm like, well, this is what my CI told me to do, so I'm gonna do it. But yeah, it's
so crazy what's out there. Like,
yes.
Sometimes you think about it, and you're just like. We have the potential to help so many people in so many amazing ways, but then there's the ones that don't.
And which it's I'm not like I mean I guess I am knocking on it, but like it's just I was learning. I'm like, hey, you got to do what you got to do. Do you guys listen to Joe Rogan at all?
Yeah,
I love how he has his podcast. It's super informal. Just go. Yeah. I'm sure he has some talking points, but with running form, and if we're jumping back on and we're talking about running form, we somehow got on running form. But if you look up, you know, you guys know, not Carl Lewis. Who's the guy who wore the golden shoes on track and field? He won the 400 and the 200, like two Olympics in a row. Michael Johnson. He's a sprinter. He did the 400 and the 200. If you watch him run, it's very unique and it's different than any other sprinter. So he runs the way it's pose method. Have you guys heard of pose? Uh-huh. I use a lot of it when I retrain runners.
Term, but I don't remember what that is.
It's essentially when you land. I can stand up and show you guys. It's very much like you want
yes,
to.
Demo.
When you're in this position here, so basically when you land, your hips and ankles are stacked. Your trailing leg, you don't want it back here. When you're in this position, stacked, you want this ankle here. So okay. Most people, when they're here, this is way back.
Yeah.
And they have to pull it through.
Yeah, mine's like times three of that back.
Yeah, so you're like, so sprinters, it's a lot of sprinters think, I'm going to push as hard as I can, and then I got to pull it back. Well, think of like an Olympic diver. When they tuck, they spin faster. When they open up, they slow themselves down to hit the water. Yeah. So it's just, I don't know if that's the physics of torque, whatever that is, but if we can hit, not overextend, but quick pull, you want this quick pull here, it's much easier to do this and then land under your bot and land with a more vertical shin than it is to get way out here. And most people, they kind of like, they don't pull as high and they end up like, it's like I'm trying to move in this do position and come out versus this is more tucked. It's easier to do this than this kick that leg out. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So if you watch Michael Johnson sprint.
Like a gazelle. Like it's like beautiful.
Yes.
But it's like definitely
it's not the right.
It's definitely not efficient.
No.
But I mean her power is insane and she can still sprint like.
Yeah. Well that's the thing is it's sprinting. Sprinters can get away with like I'm going to have this big extension and then land in front of my body because you're. It just uses more energy and you can get away with that.
I'm not sprinting. I run the same way. And everyone I run with always tells me, they're like, why are your strides like that? And I'm like,
I think they take
three strides for every one stride I take. I'm like, if I'm more efficient, I take less strides.
I think because your, what is it, SPM? It would be, your strokes per minute would be like,
so
very low.
It would be off. Yeah.
Which you want is higher.
Not, yes,
but
yeah. It's not ideal.
But at the same time, like, if you wouldn't run a marathon. You couldn't run a marathon. I mean, I guess you could.
It'd be a really rough marathon.
I mean, that's probably why
you can't run more than like 2 miles. I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah.
You want to have all running is it's like a repeated single leg hop. Like if I stand here and I do this,
running
is literally this with the heel pull. And then how do I move? You don't push.
You just hinge your body forward.
You let gravity move you. That's literally all it is. So like but people see that they're like, wait, what? What? So that's all this. Like, so you can, if you apply that to sprinting, like if let's look up Michael Johnson running form, and it's a very his cadence. It's so much different than any other sprinter, but he was also faster than everybody else. So
But it's funny because, okay, so anatomically, I can ask you, because I taught an Orange Theory for like 3 years.
Okay.
And just everybody's running form is just so, like, running form is just, it's just your body and how it moves in space, I feel like. Like, can you really, like, change that about someone, per se? I mean, I guess.
Yeah, there's gonna be, muscles, like.
There's, like, femur length and torso length.
Yeah,
and,
like, there's certain things. There's like, certain things you're not gonna be able to change. Like, if someone has a foot that's, you know, their hips retroverted, like, that's more on the uncommon rare side, and and but like their feet might be a little more turned out. Like, we can't change that, but the more you deviate from, it's almost like a squat, right? Like, we know that with the barbell, front squat, back squat, overhead squat, we should, you know, the knees shouldn't cave in. We should be driving the knees out, twist into the ground, squeeze our glutes. And when you notice, oh, the knee caves in, oh, they're like, they're not, you know, they're not hinging, they're just, you know, they're just, their heels are popping off, we know that's not a good position, we should fix that. Well, why is it like we don't just say, oh, they just squat like that? But with, exactly the same thing. Oh, they just squat like that. We just leave, let them go, and then, oh, now my knee hurts. So it's the same thing with running form. Of, we can't just say, oh, they just run like that. Well, there are differences. I mean, like, I'm kind of awkwardly, I have long legs and a short torso, but like, it's the same thing with running form. There's a standard that we should be trying to reach for, and if we're deviating from that standard, then, oh man, I just feel tired when I run. My knee hurts. So that's. That's why I think running form is so important. Where it's the same thing as squat form. Well, if we're so gonna harp squat and deadlift form, we know the benefits of that. Well, why don't we do the same thing with running
form?
Yeah,
we don't.
Yeah, we don't.
And it's not commonplace
of like, because it's super common, Lauren, where someone's like, hey, I'm just gonna ah, it's fine, you're gonna run. That's how you look. I'm like, no, there should be a standard for doing this. And once the way to run faster is, you just lean forwards. You lean forwards more than everybody else, and you can maintain that. If you want to win a race, you just lean forwards the most. Mm-hmm. But if you can't handle, that's why cadence is so important. Where the more you lean forwards, you have to have a fast cadence. You have to catch yourself. So if I lean forwards, and I'm not able to, like, if I can't catch myself, I fall down. So that's why Michael Johnson was so fast. Is he had a really hyper. It's too much to get into now because I want to finish what we were talking about, but he basically fell forwards faster than all the other sprinters. Okay. But he was able to do that because he was so, because you have to hit the ground harder because now you're falling forwards faster.
Yeah.
So
I've always just kind of thought, like, okay, if you see someone run and you notice like a strength imbalance, fix strength imbalance, and the running form will fix itself.
It can. So like, if someone's weak, they won't be able to handle a faster cadence. Their muscles literally won't be able to fire. Their tendons won't be able to fire as quickly.
That's my issue.
And yes,
you're definitely not weak.
Yeah, you're definitely not weak. So like that. So that could be why a new runner, like, why can't I feel weird hitting a faster cadence? I'm like, well, as you get stronger, you can run this way. And also, if someone's tight, what we'll find is like, if you can't extend your hip, if you can't get hip extension, like, we have this arc of motion. You'll shift it forwards. Mm-hmm. So like, I can't extend back here. You're gonna go through the same motion. We'll just shift it forwards for you. So instead, now you'll land way out in front here, only get to here, and then come back. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Versus, okay, what I would love to do is shift it this way, use your glutes and hamstrings.
Yeah.
So that's why a lot of runners are quad dominant, is they're just so stiff here.
So tight there.
They don't know how to get, I mean, that's just one example of it.
No, that's also like 1,000 repetitions.
Of the same thing. And I have a theory that runners are horrible at lifting because they're so used to leaning forwards. And then when you hip hinge, you have to, kind of have to lean backwards a little bit more. And like, if you did that, like, I had a horrible time. Like, Shad was like yelling at me, trying to teach me how to hip hinge and deadlift because I couldn't do it. I'm like, I'm so used to just leaning forwards and catching myself that when I had to engage my glutes and do a hip hinge and deadlift, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. So I think that's why a lot of runners might have problems.
Thank goodness, the first time Eric tried to teach me a kettlebell swing, I was like, I can't do that. Like, my hips don't go that way. Like,
yes.
At the time, I was a runner, and I was like, what are you talking about? Like,
I am
pushing my butt.
Yes. I think that's the challenge of like, runners might not. It's not that they're like, they're so used to just I'm moving forwards that trying to go backwards is like a foreign movement for them.
Yeah. That's a good point.
All right, I want to get back to. I don't even know where we left off.
We left off, and Sunny has a great story from here.
Yes.
Right now she's injuring people on a BOSU.
Fitness first.
Yes. Okay,
Fitness
First.
Definitely. So I don't know where I was in the Fitness First story, but yeah, I was at Fitness First. And I also started training some like kids fitness boot camps and like kids.
That's cool.
I was like working with kids like ages like 3 up to I think 12 or 13, various little age groups, multiple camps through the week.
That's pretty cool. Like pediatrics training. That's pretty cool.
I love working with kids and I've always loved working with kids. So I did that.
Okay.
And then at the same time, I met a trainer that had an in-home training business and I worked with him and went to in-home. He basically would find the clients and then pass them off to trainers.
Oh,
and
nice. So, okay. So he did all the marketing.
He did the marketing, which is nice. He basically was like, I have a client here. I have a client here. Can you train them? These are the hours. These are the times. Mm-hmm. And he knew my schedule. So he would just kind of fill in the spots for me that I had available and give me clients to go train. And I would just go in-home and do in-home sessions. And from there, I worked there until my last year of college. Mm-hmm. My last year of college, I had to do... I worked there until I think my sophomore year in college, actually. My sophomore year in college, I think, was when my PT cert was expiring and my CPR was expiring. And Sport and Health had an in-person CPR class. So I went to Sport and Health and I took the class there. And then after the class was done, the person that was in charge of the trainers, who actually was Eric, who Lauren worked for, came up and talked to all the trainers and was like, hey, if anyone's interested in training here, we're looking to hire trainers, whatever.
There
so
you go.
I went and I talked to them and I really liked him. And I was like, okay, like I'm not really learning anything at Fitness First. I'm basically doing burpees on a BOSU.
I'm not learning much here.
I'm burpees on a BOSU and I'm going through circuits on the machines.
I need more guidance.
What I know. And so I went there and they had like a in-house training that they put you through to like make sure like you knew how to do movement assessment,
You were like a competent trainer. Yeah.
Yes. And so I went through that. Which was valuable and was basically just reiterating what you learned in the book. And then from there, though, it was like what he taught me and what the trainers there taught me. And I was there for about 10 years. I learned a lot from them.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, maybe even a couple more years. Maybe 10 or 12 years. I was there. I was there a while.
Wow.
And then in that time was also when I met Lauren and we were trying to do the corporate thing. And I'd already picked up a couple corporate clients and was doing that. And we were trying to build that up. And then... the Sport and Health I was at was closing because their lease was done and they were not renewing the lease. And so
they were just going to close the business?
They were closing that location.
Okay. Gotcha.
And so I loved that gym and I was kind of stuck with like what to do because I'd always wanted to have, when I first started on my journey, my goal was to have my own place.
Yeah.
And working for Sport and Health, I learned a lot and I got a lot out of it. So like, I'm happy that I worked there, but they do have a non-compete. And so while I was there, I had to be very careful with clients that I trained in home. Cause I was doing in-home training and I was doing the boot camps.
What was the radius?
It was a 5-mile radius.
That's not horrible.
Not horrible, but when you're trying to like work in an area and not have to commute longer than 10, 15 minutes, that kind of takes that away.
My wife has a 20-mile non-compete in the place in Frederick and we're 21 miles away here. And even if we weren't, I'm like, sue us, don't care. She was gonna see people in Frederick, and I'm like, just see him at Gerber. I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it's really stupid.
Yeah. But so I had
that's
some
tough
clients.
When you're in a developed area
I had
like
some
that.
Clients who I did see within a 5-mile radius, but they were clients that literally could not leave their homes. Like they were wheelchair bound.
Yeah.
And so I was like, if they want to come after me for these people, and they find out, like I have a case here. But then I saw people in Chevy Chase and like a little bit further out that was outside the radius.
Honestly, too, I feel like those non-competes are. Like, if you were going to open up your own business in a physical location, not like, hey, I'm going to someone's... I feel like that's different.
Yeah.
But sounds like you had that and the not virtual, the concierge.
Yeah.
So was that the corporate one? You were going to people's homes?
The people's homes was through me. Like, at this point, once I got to Sport and Health and started working there, I kind of separated from him because I was like, I'm full-time going to be at Sport and Health.
Okay.
And I'm going to just train there full-time. So I started doing more in-homes for myself, and then the corporate thing started up for myself initially, and then got Lauren on with me, and we tried to start that up a little bit more, which kind of fell apart.
Because, we talked about that before.
So
they didn't see your vision.
And so when Sport and Health was closing, I was stuck, because they gave us an option to go to a different location, and there was a couple other locations close by, and I talked to all my clients, and my clients were split, because the location... Some of them were close to Gaithersburg. Some of them were close to Rockville. And I was like, I'm going to lose half my client base right now.
Yeah. Yep.
And because the gym was closing and I no longer had a place to work at, essentially our non-compete became null and void. And Lauren was like, this is your time to leave. Do not go back. Because if your goal is to open up your own space, this is like the only time, like you can walk away and some of your clients that want to work with you will be able to come with you, and you won't have to worry about feeling bad because you're like breaking your agreement that you made.
Yeah. I wouldn't feel bad about it. But and so, I'm doing my own thing.
I don't know. I don't want to.
She helps the people that fall much. During the mile.
You care too much, Sonny.
That's her heart.
I'd be like, screw that. I'm doing my own thing.
No, I didn't want to do wrong by the company because the company did treat me well. Like,
yeah, that's a good point.
You know, like I learned a lot. I got a lot. It was really valuable. I love the people I worked with. Love the people that were the managers there. And I just didn't want to do wrong by them. And
sure,
so,
sure.
When I left, some of my clients that were closer to Rockville or Gaithersburg or different locations.
Where was this? Where were the location that was closing? Where was it?
Was
that?
In the Rio. It was in Gaithersburg.
Okay,
in the Rio.
Okay,
yep.
Gotcha.
Yep. And so I sent some of my clients to some trainers in Rockville because I knew that location was going to be better for them.
Yep.
And then some of my clients I sent. Actually, I don't think anyone went to Lake Forest, but I sent some to Rockville because I knew that location would be better.
Okay.
And then I let them know that I was going to be parting ways and going off on my own to location in Kentlands in Red Zone working for myself.
Nice.
And most of them didn't want, and I offered everyone trainers, and I was like, I can set you up with other trainers in Rockville so you can continue. And they were like, no, we're not, like, we're not leaving you.
We're going with you.
Yeah. And so
that's awesome.
But some that was like, they lived essentially in that same, like there's a Pike and Rose location and they lived essentially right there. So it made sense for them to go there.
Yeah.
And so I set them up with trainers there and then everyone else came with me. And then from there, just
you had a pretty loyal clientele.
Yeah,
it sounds like which is a good thing to have when you're going to start a business. you already have clientele.
It was terrifying because you're going from having, I mean, Sport and Health was like three floors. They had a pool, they had sauna, they had like a spa, they had like every equipment you could possibly imagine.
Yeah.
To going to a training studio that has like a squat rack, one cable machine, and dumbbells, and like
and a couple
medicine
balls,
and like a couple Swiss balls.
1,000 square feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
so
very
like,
small.
I was like, when I was Lauren was talking, I was like, "There's no way, like my clients cannot like they like having all this stuff."
Yeah.
And she
bougie
was like,
clients.
She
they
was
want
like,
a son.
She was like, "Just do it, just come." And I was like, "No," because like they're like they want all like, and we use the leg press and we use all these things, and like I'm not gonna have access to these things. And Lauren was like, "Just do it.
Time
if they don't want
squat.
It, like if like that's what they want, they'll stay, and like you'll find new people that like are okay." And I was like,
"Yeah."
All right, fine. But everyone, like most people came and they were so much happier and like they loved like being there, and it was more of a sense of community because
it
like
wasn't
clients,
three floors of all spread outness.
Yeah. Yes. So, like they
you're
got
on
to know,
my head. Let me know your name.
Yes.
They got
oh,
to know a
awesome.
Lot more people and kind of made friends with each other and got like it turned out really well.
Yeah.
And,
it was awesome.
People think that like, oh, people are going to want the sauna and all these like shiny objects. I'm like, not really. They want to work with a really good trainer that cares.
That's, exactly.
People,
that's what
like,
we've come to learn.
This place was a, not a dump, but like the lighting was not that good. Like we just got this fixed. I'm like, and I mean, I had to repaint it. Like I had clients in here when we were like literally still fixing it up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still had to do like a little bit of work back there, but like people want to work with you. Yes, it's great for to have all those perks, but they want to work with you and get a great experience.
Yeah. Yeah, and so from there, just went to Red Zone and then went there with the intention, like, knowing, like, okay, I want to open up my own space. I don't know when that can happen because I have to save up, and Lauren wanted the same thing. So we kind of were on the same path together at this time. We were like, okay, like,
oh, nice.
This is what we're going to do.
And there was no not-compete at Red Zone?
No.
Okay,
we were
cool.
good
yeah.
friends with Alex, who owned it, and we told him from the start, like, this is
yeah.
like,
where
and
we're
he
that's
was
awesome.
Like, of course, absolutely.
Yeah.
And,
I don't like
and like we were always very open about like we're going to look at spaces like this is what's on our radar
yeah.
like we I mean some people would say too open like we were telling him like before we even saw places like okay here's what
yeah.
we're doing just
sure.
want to make sure you're in the loop because like you never want to
you don't want to like blindside
yeah.
someone
and like
when we're paying
pay
him
rent
like you want to
yeah.
make sure he's covered and like I don't want to leave him high and dry and be like all right we signed a lease bye like
yeah.
Yeah.
See
hey,
you later.
We're
good luck.
In like 2 months, you should probably
and
try
like,
and find a tenant
was,
for this area.
Yeah, there
yeah.
was no even like real contract, which you know, like I mean, we could have just been like, "Hey, we're done tomorrow," but like
yeah.
we would never do that.
Yeah, exactly.
We ended up, I think, giving him like 90 days notice, and like you know, just
that's very
really
nice.
Like playing the whole thing out and trying to do the right thing, just because you would want the right thing done to you. And
yeah,
you know, so that was
exactly
really,
yeah.
yeah.
And then, well, you know, the rest
and
of
that's
the story.
History. That's
yeah.
awesome. So I mean, it's. It sounds like you guys kind of started, I know you were more of the running background, Lauren, and then you guys, so did you meet before Red Zone? Was it?
We did. Well,
okay.
I'm like,
yeah, you, I know you
was
guys
met
at Sport Health.
Yes. Like,
but it sounds like
was,
Red Zone brought you both like really
yeah,
together,
yeah.
and
yes.
then it's like, oh, we both have the same dream and passion. And
yes.
then I have not heard of, yeah, I'm trying to think of all, most of the like, other trainers I know, but no one else has like a model of, I mean, it sounds like it's kind of the corporate model, but even better of like, hey, you work for this you know, you work at Sunny and Lauren's, but it's technically your own clientele, and like, you know, you're your own sole proprietor and, you know, self-employed and stuff. But this is just where you work
out.
Like,
we're like, we're just like your host.
Yeah, the host.
Yeah, like, but yeah. We just save you operational expenses.
We just learned, apparently it's called the barbershop model in the fitness world.
Okay, cool.
It's like if, like, solo salons, for example, like, they can have, like, their own, like, business within the salon. It's, like, same concept. So
okay, cool.
We're essentially just... We're just a location.
Like, really cool. Yeah.
Landlords, yes. So you give a lot of trainers a lot of freedom, is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
The goal is just, I want people to be able to have this career long term. Another thing we just learned: most trainers only last 6 months.
Yeah, really?
That's the average lifespan of a trainer.
And that's, dang. I mean, I see why. Like, it's not easy. Like, who wants to get up at 4 a.m. to train clients at 5 a.m.? Who wants to stay at work until 8 p.m. to train clients after work?
Yeah.
Who wants to work when everyone else isn't?
And I think
like,
also,
President's
like,
Day is Monday. You think I'm hanging out with anybody?
Honestly, I'm hanging out with all my clients. I forgot that we had a holiday because I'm like, I worked.
Exactly.
I already booked people. I'm like,
I
forgot it was
a
holiday.
I'm complaining, but I absolutely like love what I do. But
yeah,
you know, it's hard. I mean, health insurance isn't covered, taxes aren't taken out.
You have to do everything yourself.
You've got to be on top of your game. And on top of that, like,
and you can't do burpees on a BOSU all day long.
Yeah, and like, you've got to know your stuff, and you have to like. It's
and
a
like
physically demanding
trainers,
job too.
I think sometimes get into the industry like, because I saw it back at Sport and Health, because I would see a slew of trainers starting and then ending within like 3 or 4 months, and they would start their career thinking like, I'm a powerlifter and I'm going to train everyone to be a powerlifter because that's what I'm really good at. But everyone does not want to be a powerlifter.
Yeah,
most people don't want to be a powerlifter.
Most people just
want
to feel better.
And then
and they look good naked.
When it
and
comes
they
to the
like...
session, like they're kind of like, I don't want to train you because that's not what you like. You don't want to be a power lifter. I don't want to train you. So like they start to realize like not everyone wants what I want, and I just want to do what I want, not necessarily.
You can do that, but it's a little bit hard. You have to like really push to get that.
Yeah.
Like it's,
and like they think people walking in are gonna have no injuries, they're gonna have no other stress in their life.
Oh, they
and
will.
No time constraints.
They're gonna give you
and
all their baggage.
They're gonna have and so I think they come
like,
to
what
realize
when your power lifter gets injured, you know what to do then? Like, you know.
Yeah, it's a good point.
And it's just like they come to realize like, I want to work out, not necessarily train other people. Like, they think it's different than what it actually
and
is.
And I don't think people realize the energy it takes. Because, like, when you become a trainer, your workout is second. Like, your workout is no longer this kick-ass workout. Like, your workout, you are tired.
Yes.
You are tired. You are not fed properly. Like, you are dehydrated. Like, you just finished a session, and you have 3 minutes to start. You know, it's just like, you know, it's kind of... So, it's just... I think... the glory, like the glorified Instagram version of what a trainer is versus reality, that would be a good Instagram versus reality post.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I wouldn't change it for the world. I love it, but it's not a cakewalk. It's not everything.
Yeah. No, it's not easy.
Yeah. It's not, what you think it is.
If a trainer is looking to kind of work with you guys or a client's looking to work with you guys, what's the best way for them to like reach out to you?
They can do Facebook, Instagram, Messenger, our website. You can do the contact us form.
Okay. And that's Sunny. Is it sunnyandlauren.com?
www.sunnyandlauren.com.
Okay. Cool.
And they can just fill out the contact us form. And either way, I mean, if it's a client, we'd be happy to speak to them and either see them ourselves or place them with the right trainer for them. If it's a trainer, we would love to talk to them about how to help them grow their business. So,
yeah. So yeah, there's like two
a win-win from
you have
both sides.
Trainers that can work with you guys, and also the clients that can be like, hey, which trainer would work? You know, who you're gonna work best with? And I'm sure each trainer might have like, hey, running background or powerlifting background, or that you could fit them with them, which is sounds like it's the corporate model, but like 2.0. Like you should put that in a marketing campaign.
Corporate model 2.0.
2.0 trainers.
Minus the shower.
Yes. You said minus the shower?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I would love to get a like showers.
That would be incredible.
Yeah, it would be.
I appreciate you guys coming on. I know we've been over, I don't even know how long this is. It's probably been more than an hour, but I think it's gonna be a great episode. And guys, thanks for listening. And if you wanna check out Sunny and Lauren's again, sunnylauren.com. What's your Instagram handle?
Sunny and Lauren.
Okay, perfect. So if it sounds like that's a unique one, not a lot of people would have. But guys, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Hey, wait a minute, guys. I just want to say thanks for listening to the podcast today. I really appreciate it. And if you want to get more involved in the conversation of your health, your wellness, how to have longevity later in life, take care of your aches and pains, and learn how to do this on your own,
that sounds cool to you, check us out at Alpha Project Physio on Instagram and Facebook. And also check us out at alphaprojectphysio.com. Right, if you're interested in actually talking to somebody about these problems, completely free. We do free phone consultations all the time. So if you want to do that, go to alphaprojectphysio.com. You can click talk to a doctor today, talk to somebody today. And guys, on these calls, we're not trying to sell you something. The goal is to really find out what you have going on and help you out. Right? If that's with us, great. If it's with somebody else, that's fine. So if you're interested in that, guys, please check us out at alphaprojectphysio.com. And I'll catch you next time.